Where that is. There it is. Praise God. Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for this awesome time we're in. Thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody that comes on tonight and that's going to be listening as well. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this blessed time that we're in. And Father, thank you for leading us into this holiness walk. And Lord, we thank you for keeping our eyes focused on you and our passion toward you. And we praise you for it, Lord, because we're coming into some wonderful times and some not so wonderful times for those who aren't yours. But Lord, we know that there's going to be a lot of people coming into the kingdom. And you want us absolutely ready for those times that we'll be able to rely on and trust in your word, Lord. And that requires us to put the word in us. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I praise you, Father, that you are putting that word in us daily. And I praise you for all you're doing. And getting us ready spiritually and physically also, Lord. Thank you so much for your word, Father. That's the key to everything is your word. That's the key to our wisdom. That's the keys to everything. If you know the word, nothing can bother you. And Father, we thank you for putting that word in us as we read and study and meditate on that word. Praise you, Lord, for all you're going to do this evening too. As we go into your word, and we thank you for it, Father, for opening up the revelations to us and letting us see the things that you have us to see, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Let's see. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Andrew.
I got a new Bible today.
Well, you
It's
sure
awesome
did.
Bible. A nice big American Standard Version, and he even put all the tabs in for me. So I like to put on this Bible.
Awesome.
Okay, so Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you would bless this word for whoever
Amen.
reads it or studies it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that I've had many enjoyable days and hours studying your word. Bless me for this, Father. I pray, Father, for the blessing, as it says even in your word, that I should be blessed this way. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thank you, Father.
Boy,
Amen.
that's a nice looking Bible. Is that big words? Is that large print?
It's pretty large. I can read it.
Okay.
It's
Praise God.
glass. Actually, in this light, I might need my glasses, but if I had the light on, like full blast, and I was under my reading lamp here, I'd probably be able to read it.
Amen.
I got all the tabs on it. He put
I
all
see.
the and all the different book tabs.
Okay.
Every child should have a Bible too.
Amen. Amen. So you can find the one you want, right? Very quickly. Okay, that's great. Awesome. All right. Good testimony. Anybody else? I know. Yeah, Nick, what's up?
My dad got me tickets to a Monster Jam show this coming week, and I'm going to a concert the next month after that, so.
Oh, I didn't understand what you're going through.
A Monster Jam show.
Oh,
It's like a monster trucks.
oh, well, how many monsters are they gonna have?
They're gonna be doing tricks and flips and all kinds of neat stuff, so.
Oh my, oh my. Well, that sounds like a good time. Eat some popcorn for me, will you?
I'm going to have an energy drink.
Okay, energy drink, just to keep you wound up. All right, Lord, we just thank you for Nick when he goes. Take him out safely and bring him home safely. None of them monsters get on him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anyone else? All right. Nobody need any prayer or got any testimonies? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I have a green prayer for my back. It's been very sore the last few days, and I've been praying, thanking the Lord for my healing. And it's starting to get better now, but I would just appreciate prayer as well.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, you got pain now? You got pain right now?
Not while I'm sitting. Every once in a while, when I get up, it gives me a pain.
Okay. Well, the Lord fixed to take that away from you. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that pain to go out of Pat's back. You don't allow it. What are you doing there? In the name of Jesus, I command you to go from him, leave him, and be healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Pat is healed and he has been made whole by the blood of Jesus. And I praise you by the stripes of Jesus. You're healed in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that it is done. I thank you, Lord, that you're, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that he is healed in Jesus' name. He doesn't have to put up with that. He's the holy temple of the Lord God Almighty. Devil, you ain't got no business there in Jesus' name. So be healed. Pain go right now. In Jesus' name, and don't come back. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It is done. It is done. Now get up and dance a jig, because you're healed. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You're gone. Look at that boy. Boogie down. Go on with yourself, boy. I'm telling you what. All right. Go ahead, Vanita.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Vanita.
I just want to pray for Frank has a set of keys to one of our cars, and he couldn't find it anywhere today, and he had to go to an appointment, and he couldn't go because he couldn't find the keys. So I just want to pray over that. And so also, I was out today, and Nick and I were out, and I was walking the dog out in this field, not field, but in this lawn area. And it was snowing like crazy, just coming down really hard. And we were out there playing and having a good time. And I got back to the car. My keys weren't in my pocket. And I thought, oh, no, now my keys are gone. So I, of course, started praying. And I sent the angels down and to help me find it. And I walked back out into the lawn. And I was just walking all over praying. And I looked down, and there they were, right in the middle of the lawn.
Thank you, Lord.
Got the keys back. So amen. But Lord, thank you for helping us. When we get home, Nick and I, we're just going to walk in, and Lord, the angels are just going to put the keys right in front of us, Lord. And we're just going to praise the Lord that you did that for us, and going to be able to get back in that car and get it running. Frank already ordered parts to change the lock cylinder. And Lord, we don't need those. We're just going to find those keys and not have to worry about that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. You can always go down to your local dealer and get a car key for you, just your door. That's about $10 instead of buying the whole lot. So you might look into that, but you're not going to have to, because that angel's going to put it right there where y'all can see it.
That's right. No Amen. Problem. We're going to find them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Vanita and Frank. All right. Anybody else? What was it? I lost something the other day. I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere. I said, what? Oh, it's my flashlight, my high-tech flashlight. And I looked everywhere for it. I said, good gracious. And I went a couple of days there. Finally, I got smart and I prayed I said, Lord, put your angels. I told him, angels, get that flashlight and put it where I can find it real, real easy. I walked in my room, walked over here, and picked it up right over there on my bookshelf over here that I could have seen it before. They put it right there where I could see it. And that was awesome. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? That was last week, I believe it was. All right, anybody else? Has God been good to you? Okay, let's sing about it. Okay, let's sing about it. I've got some good, good praise and worship tonight. Y'all believe that? You better, because you're fixing to hear it.
Down through the years, the Lord's been good to me. I'm trying to tell you, down through the years, the Lord's been good to me. Trying to tell you, down through the years, the Lord been good to me.
I know the Lord really been good.
Been good.
Amen. How many of you like that? Hey, did you notice all of the musical instruments was just one? Just one musical instrument, Matt. It was the drums. Boom, 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 boom. That's all it was. And then the voices were the instruments. I thought that was a cool song. Now we might get a bass in there too. You know what I'm saying, Dave? All right. I enjoyed it. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
Can y'all hear me good?
Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you.
Tuesday I was called to court to be a witness against what happened at the shop. Anyways, the other employer that got, the worker that got fired, he filed a false assault charge against the boss. And so I was called to be a witness because I was there and I saw what happened. And I was driving on the way to court and I was like, Lord, I command the angels to go to that court, bind up all these lies, and let the truth be told and made to light. And we get there, and me, my boss, and his girlfriend, which was another witness, we were standing there with the lawyer talking, and he was like, if they do ask you to say something, just speak the truth. Don't try to make things up. And we're like, all right. So we sit there. We're sitting there waiting for the court to start. And I see the ex-worker and his lawyer coming in from the back room because they just got done having their meeting. And the lawyer walks to the front and meets up with my boss's lawyer. And they go to the back room and they talk. And when the ex-worker's lawyer came out, he was very unhappy and upset on his face. and he pulled him out of the courtroom, took him to the back room. And then when they came out, he forced him to go to the front and sign a waiver to drop it all. And I was like,
God is so good. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. So no witness today, huh? Well, thank you, Father. Glory to God. You got a day off too. Amen.
Just an hour, unfortunately.
Oh, but okay. Oh my. Okay. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Amen. The truth always comes out, doesn't it? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Anybody else got a prayer? Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, Pat.
It's not a testimony. It's just what David said there. It's very interesting. But the Lord has been showing me, so I'm not going to speak about it tonight, but I'm just kind of praising the Lord that David just demonstrated the lesson that the Lord's teaching me through the scripture exactly. And that is this lesson of jurisdictions. And David was in a certain jurisdiction there of the courtroom. And he appealed to the Lord from a higher jurisdiction and brought in the angels from above that jurisdiction. And that is, and you know, the Lord has been showing me that there's specific ways of doing this correct way. Oops. You all right, Dave? Michael?
Yeah, I'm fine.
There's correct ways of doing that. And there's also, you know, and it works the other way, et cetera. I'm not, I guess, prepared to speak about it, but it's just very interesting. It just hit me right like that. When you said that, it just sprung out. And, I don't know. I just thought I'd mention it. It's interesting. One of the things that the Lord is showing me is that just confirming the fact that we have been delivered out of the power, out of the kingdom structure of this earth. Colossians, I think 1:13 or something like that, and translated into that the highest jurisdiction available to us in Christ. And we're sitting at the right hand of Christ as far as authority and being able to properly articulate, or that's not the word I want, properly access and utilize that authority is one of the keys to making that transition, making that work happen through the heavenly hosts, or through the higher jurisdiction, so we speak. So anyway, I'm not really prepared to speak about it or talk about it that much, but I just want to praise the Lord because it's a perfect, perfect example, David. So appreciate that.
Let me get myself unmuted here. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for guiding our every step. It makes no difference what kind of a day we have. If we allow you to guide it, it's going to turn out okay. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Yeah, hey, Josie. All right. Yeah, Missy. Law show has been good to me.
I know I shared about my neighbor, two houses up that I gave a sovereign God to, but this has been a couple weeks now, I think. The other lady that had the Penny that had the shoulder surgery, one day I was walking by her house and this thought came to me that she was going to call me, you know, and I was thinking, you know, she saw me out their window or whatever. Well, I was just like about ready to get past her house and to the next, and my phone rings and I looked and it says restricted. And I'm like, I very rarely answer my phone. If I don't recognize the phone number, you know, and especially if it says restricted, you know, but I just really felt like I needed to answer that. Cause I was thinking that's Penny. Well, sure enough, it was Penny. And, I talked to her, and she said she was reading Sovereign God, and no, she wasn't reading it yet. She said thanks for the Sovereign God, and that she says I will definitely read it. She sounded really upbeat about it. But then the other day I walked up to her door. I felt a knock on her door, and this was last week now, and she didn't open the storm door. Her little granddaughter was with her, and she said she had had pneumonia, and she was getting better, and so we prayed for her in the morning meeting last week or whatever. But she said she was on page 14 and she hadn't read it since she had gotten pneumonia, but she sounded good. She said she just, at the time, she was having a fever come on off and on, or now and then. I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that she is all healed up and she's reading that Sovereign God. And Lord, she's really getting a revelation of your sovereignty, you know. And I looked to see what page, what it was she was reading on page 14, and it was just talking about, you know, basically that chapter, you know, God's sovereignty over evil, I think, or something to that effect, you know, or, you know, that, you know, you think God's behind everything, you know, don't blame the devil, you know, God's ultimately, you know, the one behind the enemy. So I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that her and Mrs. Grimm are getting awesome revelations and being encouraged, mm-hmm. Lord, and their faith built. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that I will have opportunity to speak to both of them about it, that they'll want to talk to me and we'll have some good fellowship. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing it. Amen. All right. Anyone else? How many of you spent a little time in Proverbs? Okay, great, great. Nick? Shame for shame. Okay, let's see if we can't get into it. Now, where did we leave off on? Number seven, was it? Six or seven? Okay, yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Just for anybody's interest sake, in the book, UBM book, Escape Falling Away, on chapter one, it's all about wisdom. And David talked a lot about chapter 2, 3, and 4, but just for, if anybody wants to read that or not.
Which book?
Escape Falling Away.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. Okay. We're starting on that over. Just today.
Joe, did you say chapter 1 and 2 or just 1?
Chapter 1.
Okay, thanks. I did read that, but that was 2, 3 books ago.
Okay. All right, let's see. You know, how many of you found some more stuff in the first 6 verses? Yeah. All right, I got to find it here. All right, we'll start at 7 since everybody did that. We could probably go over it again some other time. Let me do something here. All right, number 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Why is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge? I thought y'all went over there. Come on now. Okay, let's do it this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, what is knowledge? When you have knowledge, what can you do with that knowledge? Yeah, Missy.
act upon it. Have without knowledge, there's no faith. You can't, you know. So you just you put it in action with that knowledge. If you don't know something, you can't do anything with what you don't know.
Amen. Well, yes, that's right. If you have knowledge, what is knowledge to us? Maybe I should ask that. Go ahead, Ben.
We need to know who the Lord is. And we were kind of just talking about it before with Sovereign God. We know how sovereign he is and how great and mighty and powerful he is. So, you know, that's someone to fear. We're not called to be scared of God, but we are called to fear him. And the more we know him, the more we know how powerful he is. So,
Amen. Amen. The beginning of knowledge. Now, why do we need knowledge? I'm asking anybody. Yeah, Nick.
To be smart.
Man, I wish I'd have thought of that. Glory to God. Thank you, Nick. Okay. Praise God. But there's a little bit more to it, so we're going to find out a little bit more to it. All right, Benita.
I don't know if I can add much more to that, but I'll try. Okay. knowledge is just the beginning of it is the word know. So it's knowing things. And the more we read the Bible and are into the in the Bible, we know more about God. The more we know about God, the wiser we are, and we can make decisions based on that information.
Amen. Thank you, Danita. All right, now there's a little more to it, but that's a great start. Go ahead, Pat.
So, can I define the fear of the Lord?
Sure.
I'm just gonna read some verses real quick. Okay. A bunch of them. All in Proverbs.
Okay.
1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:29, they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord.
Wait a minute, just a minute. Did you say verse 5?
Chapter 2, verse 5.
All right.
I'm just running through them real quick just to.
Yeah, I want to write them down so I can look at them later. Yes, that'd be great.
2:5, then that shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate. 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Chapter 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. That goes along with what David was teaching yesterday. 15:16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goeth humility. 16:6. By mercy and truth iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited with evil. 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. 23:17. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that's the fear of the Lord in Proverbs.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Did you, I might have missed it. Did you give Proverbs 3:7? Because it's...
No, I didn't.
Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
Hmm. Yeah, it's weird. I wonder why I didn't search that.
You miss them sometimes.
Good one.
Marilyn probably caught that too, because I know that set of verses is some of her favorites.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? So, have we determined that the knowledge that we seek is to know the Word, right? Because once you know the Word, the foolishness is gone, right? As it says, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. You're not foolish when you understand the Word of God. And to get to understand the Word of God is to study the Word of God and to know, get it all in you. Once you can get that Word in you, there's no foolishness there. You can talk to somebody all day long about the Word of God. You can teach people the Word of God. You can give that knowledge out. Not only that, the spiritual realm opens up to you as well. It's a whole lot more than just knowledge. It's walking in the spiritual realm also. It's everything that the Word of God tells us as it is. Once you know the Word of God, once you understand the Word, we all understand, we all want to understand everything there is to know about it. The problem is a lot of times is, determination. There's a saying. Hang on just a second. There is a saying. Let me get that saying there. Oh yeah. There's an old saying, the proof of passion is pursuit. You understand what that means? Proof of passion. If you have passion for the Lord, then you're going to pursue him with everything you got. You're not just going to haphazardly go in there. Well, you know, I did my little old prayer today. I went in there and read John 3:16 today, so I'm okay. Everything's fine. Oh, it's pursuing God with all your heart. That's the proof of your passion for God. Okay, Benita. And I have that in here and in the bathroom too, so I be sure I understand that I'm pursuing God with all my heart and I'm going to go after him because I want to know more about him. And once you know more about him, you'll be able to help other people, won't you? Because the time's coming where we're going to be helping a lot of folks. All right. Did somebody raise your hand? I thought I saw somebody raise your hand.
It was me. I was just waiting for you to finish.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vanita.
That's okay. No, I was just thinking about, you know, how we fear, like there's the laws in the natural, the police and the government and all these laws that are made and they keep people in line, but those are changing and they're not perfect and they're just man-made, right? But we have the Lord's rules and we're guided by his spirit. And if we fear him, we don't, you know, we always fear the police and stuff, but we fear the Lord. So we are guided by his spirit to do the right thing. And it's the perfect right thing, not the natural right thing.
Amen. Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Vanita.
You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, you have to be diligent to add to your faith virtue, and then to your virtue knowledge. So here you have the two components of faith and virtue, even though you might not know the knowledge exactly. So the remedy of this faith to the knowledge problem could be coming to you because you have the faith that God is going to show you what the virtue is at the time when you need it. Just like when David was going to the courtroom today, he didn't want to be having any problems, and the Lord, through his choreographing and his sovereignty, told him what to say and what to pray. And it came to pass, and he escaped it. So, because it says, add to your... And of course, there's the seeing as a divine power has given to us all things for changing unto life. Life first, and then godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So here you have the knowledge in front of the virtue. But when you add to your faith virtue and then to your virtue knowledge, it's like that little figurine or that doll where you have faith on the outside and then the one on the very in center on the inside is the love. And you go through all of these dolls of faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. I think I got them all. Anyways, I have to go find my little dolly anywhere. So that central item of love is the obedience. And you know how they say in some places, faith that worketh love? I sometimes wonder if it, as it's making its way over, I think, you know, when you do karaoke, you have to say all the words that are coming on the screen. I sometimes wonder if it doesn't rest in one of those other spots before it gets to the love. And because you need patience sometimes. But sometimes the conviction just comes so naturally. And it's so followed through, so lovely, that you know the Lord did it all, you know. But sometimes he hesitates, I think, a bit. I don't know what I'm saying. So this fear of the Lord is, in another place it says it's the beginning of wisdom too. So it is meant to assist us to be children of light.
Amen.
Sons of light.
Yeah. Right. Amen. Go ahead, Barry or Marilyn.
I just wanted to mention one of my favorite verses. It's actually from Psalm 19, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." And then it goes on to say, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." You know, very, very precious. But the fear of the Lord is clean. I was listening to an old teaching the other day, Brother David talking about that the fear of the Lord will help you repent. It'll help you keep your heart clean. I like to really meditate on that. I know we all want to have a clean heart, a pure heart of love, as Paul admonishes us. And then the second part of that, the fear of the Lord is clean. And then it says enduring forever. I've thought about that. You know, enduring forever is that's eternal life. I think the fear of the Lord and helping you have a clean heart, that's what's going to get you into the kingdom and eternal life. So anyway, that's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. The fear of the Lord, how can you, if you don't have a fearful reverence of the Lord, how can you get it in your heart to go ahead and learn the things that you need to learn in a way that would benefit your walk with the Lord? Without that reverence to the Lord, fearful reverence, He's holy. He's everything to us. He's the creator. He's everything. He's all. Everything that we need is in that one book, and he gave it to us to get it in us to help other people get it in them and encourage other people to do that. That's that fear of the Lord is what brings us to want to run after the knowledge. It's mostly a love thing, in my opinion. And then you got but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. How many of you have talked to Christians, so-called Christians, don't want to hear about your Christianity, the truth that you know? That is foolishness on their part, because I've run across people and I've tried to, I have sat down and I've gone through the Word of God with them and showed them the scriptures. These are people that have been Christians a whole lot longer than I have. And I've shown them, and they were good friends. I showed them every scripture that I was trying to show them this particular point in it. And they took it to, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. We had never seen that before. And then at the end, yeah, but that just goes against everything that I've learned all my life. So, you know, it can't be right. Off the go. Anybody ever had that happen to you? I know you have. If you talk to somebody or anybody, that is foolish. The foolish despise wisdom and instruction because it didn't come out of somebody's mouth that they thought or may have thought was a lot better teacher than the Bible. Did that make any sense? I'm asking, because I can tell you, I've seen it more than once. I've seen it a lot of times. Missy.
That reminds me of what David shared recently. It was from last Wednesday's, not yesterday, but when he said about Sharon, I think it was Winnie's dream where this man was committing spiritual adultery. And, you know, people, they follow a man, they follow a religion, they follow a ministry or whatever, but they don't have any personal relationship with the Lord. You know, and that's just what it made me think of. And I was really thinking about that today. And all. So, yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. I was reading about a mega church, 45,000 people in that church, the third largest church in America, that's teaching all kinds of heresy. It's not even lining up with the Bible whatsoever. And the main theme is LUV, John 3:16. That's all he preaches on, and self-help and self-this and self-that. When the Lord wants us to, what? He wants us to depend upon him for everything. Our job is to learn the word of God and to place it into action. Yeah, Pat.
I think it's probably important to recognize that this lack of the fear of the Lord is comes with the old the flesh, comes with the old Adam package. Yeah. I was reading the Lord has given me this verse related to another issue, but I got to looking at it in Genesis, the story of Eve, an interesting thing. I'm just going to read it real quick. In chapter 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, He shall not surely die. For God knows that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And here is where the woman, I think in ignorance, but also Adam in ignorance, said when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, what we're talking about in these first in Proverbs, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband, and here's a good one, gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And that's kind of what, and so the eyes of them both were opened. They became aware of themselves and lost their awareness of God. And they knew that they were naked and sewed fig leaves together, etc. And that was the, even through the through ignorance at that time, but mainly by the lack of the fear of the Lord. And I know that there's a tendency, maybe in the apostate system, or maybe just in normal, you know, discipleship, you're learning to walk with the Lord and whatever. And it was always told me, well, that fear of the Lord, that's just a reverential, and afraid that I'm going to disappoint God and everything. And obviously it's connected very heavily with that position is connected very heavily with the, John 3:16, section of the Bible, obviously, and the love chapters and various other different things. But there is an aspect that fear, there's an aspect of that fear, and that's why the word fear is used, because there is a actual fearful element sewn into that meaning, that that verse related to fear and trembling, or and Moses going to the going up to the mountain of God, and his flesh was trembling. Well, there's an element of fear. Yes, absolutely true. We reverentially love God, and with that comes a fear of not wanting to disappoint him, wanting to be with him, wanting to please him, which I might say Moses demonstrated, because his body and his flesh was fearfully quaking and trembling, but it didn't turn him away, because he loved God and he kept going towards the mountain of God, towards climbing that mountain. And even though, there's a combination of actual awesome strength and power and a fearful trembling coupled with that absolute devotion, appreciation, and love for God, and it's all in one, and it all has to be kept together. I think our modern day Christianity pushes that fearful aspect of that relation kind of off into the obscurity, shall we say, and focus totally on love. And there's an imbalance there that's created as a result of that. But by ignorance, the lack of the fear of the Lord, that ignorance brought in sin into the world, and that nature of that very same thing functions within us, and we've been given the privilege and the right and the responsibility to exercise authority to take dominion over that flesh through Christ, through this higher jurisdiction of where we're sitting at the right hand of God right now. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting that the fear, with the lack of the fear of the Lord, that can very well function right here in our flesh. So anyway, That's all I had to say.
Amen. Anybody else? Oh, good. Oh, let's see. Yeah. Okay. Any more about number 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. I've seen that, the foolish, many times despise the instruction, despise the word that gives them instruction. Excuse me. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I just add, I think it's already been said, can I just add in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, is Christ is the power of God and he's the wisdom of God. So remember what Christ is the wisdom of God. And if you read John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. In other words, the word, Jesus is also the word. And if it's a word, that's knowledge. And that knowledge means just the whole word. It's all coming back to Christ is to understanding, to have a whole about, to have understanding. Sorry about I'm stumbling here. To have understanding is to have a knowledge of the whole Bible, to make up your mind, to understand what the fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. We have to know the word before we can understand the wisdom and the knowledge of God.
Amen. And he gives you that understanding. You gave the word of God, now the power of God. Who's the power? What's the power of God?
The power is, if you have wisdom, you know how to use the power. And if you know how to use the power, you can apply knowledge.
Amen. Who teaches you? I guess that's what I was looking at.
Holy Spirit, through Christ in you.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Joe. All right. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're able to get wisdom through him as you read and study the Word of God and ask the Lord to show you the things that you need to know. We all know that. All right, anyone else on verse 7? Excuse me. On verse 7. Well, I know there's a lot more in there. We covered a lot, though, didn't we? We covered a lot. Okay, my son, number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Huh. What's he talking about? Go ahead, Andrew.
I believe the father there would be what we just discussed a couple of seconds ago, that the Holy Spirit comes out of the Father and helps us lead this wonderful life that he called us to. The life is given by Jesus, and the power to live that life comes from God the Father. And the mother would be the early church, the church before they came with a legalistic church. From the cross to the year about 312, there was a Kaleo church. Even though you can see the guy over there in 3 John, he begins with D, he was called and he was wrong. And whom I love in truth is what John showed toward Gaius and Demetrius, that the other guy, he showed love to him too, but he wanted to do things his own way. So even though a called Christian can be mistaken, and that's what people should look at. But when legalism Christianity came in, He's the guy in the first line of the parable of the sower. He doesn't have the word in him. And that's not the mama. That's not the mother. Not the mama. And that's a problem, because that's a different mother. You see, the mother of the church from the cross to before the legalistic church came in, you know, what I think Rome did was they looked at their empire and they saw that the most universal religion was Christianity, because it spread so much. And it was in more areas than any other one. So I think they legalized it, which was a big and good thing for the called people. But then legalism started to creep in, because they legalized the Christianity. And people have to get back to the origins, like the book of Romans, like the book of Corinthians, to these Greeks and the people who speak Latin. So that's a good thing that they should do. You know, you can see things in the very first chapter that it makes you kind of wonder why God would allow such things to be licensed in your nation, as because these people who license these laws that are against God, they're not uneducated people. They should know that through the sovereignty of God, that these things are not right at all. And that's the question they should ask themselves. You know, like, they're a government. Usually you have a government, which is a house, and then a legalistic house. And in every society, you got a religion base that comes beside it. So this mother has to be the church. It has to be the called church, at least the called church. And then what did you have to do to get your calling? But then again, what do you have to do to get your calling and election? Sure. But to depend on God for it all. And to of course, to get familiar with his word. So, sorry about the history lesson, but he makes the rain to fall on the good and the evil. So that's could be the former rain, and there should be a latter rain too. And I know some people might read that verse and might not think that rain might apply to that, but if he's going to be kind that way, he's kind some other ways too. Anyway, for God so loved the world, he gave you his obedient love, because he told the prophet Isaiah, and in his name the Gentiles shall trust. So he has to back that up now. So that's the father. And then, of course, the mother is, I like to call it the Book of Acts Church. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, just by talking about fear, you know, makes it examine yourself. And you get a little bit fearful, thinking maybe I'm doing some things wrong here. You know? Maybe I'm not making myself available. That can't happen, because the Lord is the one who's sovereign over making yourself available. Present yourself at this time in that specific instance for things to happen. So, saying that, you know, doesn't mean that. Just let the Lord do it all. Praise God.
Amen. Anybody else? Is it not true that when this was written, that the parents were also the teachers of their children? They were the teachers of their children. And I think that he might be also alluding to the fact that during that time, the father, who was probably the chief teacher, was teaching his children. And that's what Solomon is saying here. And that's just me. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Mama sitting there with the, you know, with the fly swatter, keeping you in line. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
The thing that just jumped out at me, literally, when Andrew was talking, is that phrase, the law of thy mother. And it kind of goes along with what you're saying, Michael, about the makeup of the family. God, you know, created the family with a certain order. And Solomon is telling his son or sons, hear the instruction of the father, because the father is being given the responsibility to teach, to lead, to, you know, to give instruction, like you were saying. But then he says, forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, what was the law of the mother? The law that the mother demonstrated, or I like to say the law of the Lord, converting the soul, but the law, or that principle, unchanging, unseen principle or law that she demonstrates, is in one sense more important and more significant in the life of the children, because she demonstrates humility and submission in perfect submission to God and God's word by submitting herself under her husband. And exemplifying that process and that understanding for her children. And why is that so important? Obviously, because she demonstrates, and in that perfect pattern, she demonstrates grace. She demonstrates the humility which brings grace from God, which allows grace to pour into our lives from God. And it's spoken of in the very next verse, where it says, for they shall be, speaking about hearing the instruction of the Father and forsaking not the law of humility and submission of the mother, for they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thy head. Grace, again, where is it said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, the authority structure that God has placed you in, and he will lift you up. He, meaning the giver of grace, will lift you up by that grace in due time. For they shall be a chaplet of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. I think the chains about thy neck, I'm thinking of What is it when Daniel was interpreting the dreams, I think, for Nebuchadnezzar's son or grandson or whatever it was? He said, I'll give you, you know, you'll have be the third in power in the kingdom, and I'll put chains about your neck or whatever. It's a sign of authority, I would think, or whatever. But anyway, that it's just that law of thy mother is what kind of hit me, because that law of thy mother is so instrumental to each and every one of us as we learn to humble ourselves to God's word and walk and receive that grace from him through the process. So that's all I had to say.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? Well, as it says, you know, like Pat was talking about, the father apparently was doing most of the teaching. Mama was there too, because she was with him all day long, while Papa was out at working. Forsake not the law of thy mother. And mother was carrying out the law that the father gave, right? I would think. And she was using everything she could to keep them corralled and in the word. Okay. Anybody else on number eight? How about number nine? Let's go to it. For they shall be a chaplet of grace. That word chaplet means crown. Could be a crown. For they shall be a crown of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. But it's talking about verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. All right, has anybody got any input on this one? That couples with eight. I should have said them both at the same time. For they shall be a chaplet. Okay, Vanita.
I was just thinking, if we listen to our mother and father and we produce fruit, then we will be getting a crown when we go to heaven with different jewels on it, just like it says in there. So, you know, we have to listen and be obedient to those things to receive the crowns and the jewels.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? What about the chains about thy neck? Yeah, Missy. Where are you men at? Go ahead, Missy.
I always, I don't know if it applies to this, but I've heard that, like the chains is like a necklace, and that means, submission. You know, because, you know, I don't know. But it represents submission. I don't know if anybody else
is. I could. Yeah, could. Yeah, Andrew. Go ahead, Missy. Finish your thought there.
Because I think of, for one thing, like I think of like what's put on oxen or even like bridles or whatever. I don't know that. You know, of a horse or whatever. It's those things just come to my mind when it comes to submission. Anyway.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, to add to what Missy was saying there, there's Romans 6:22, free from sin, enslaved to God. Slaves usually have chains on them too. This is a wonderful slavery. Even the apostles were referred to as bondmen, but free from sin, enslaved to God, bearing fruit unto sanctification, unto eternal life. So you bear the fruit in your soul. The fruit will always function in you for sanctification, for holiness. And of course, it brings you to eventually to eternal life, or how much fruit you have, whether 30, 60, or 100-fold. And it's kind of like a different plateau going up the mountain. Then you get the next, you get the first step of 30, and then the next step of 60, and then the last step of 100. But which gets you closer to God and you can admit more glory that way as you go up higher. Anyway, so I was just relating to this chain as being a bondage of freedom. Free from sin, enslaved to God. It's kind of like a process of progress to be perfected and more perfected, as the apostle said in Philippians chapter 3. Okay. Praise God.
All right. Go ahead, Joe. Thank you, Andrew.
Can I just add Joseph and Daniel, when they were promoted, they were put chains around their neck, we got second in command, Joseph and Daniel, after they done that. So that's part of authority. Well, I would say so.
Okay. All right, I see what you're saying there. Pat put it in the chat there.
They actually still do that sometimes for ceremonial regions. When the mayor gets to be the mayor, he's the chain around his neck to, with some sort of emblem on it from the city he's a mayor of. When he for the ceremony when he's sworn in or whatever.
Amen. Anyone else on 8 and 9? Good night, David. All right. Proverbs 10, chapter 1, and I'm going to read 11 with it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. And let us swallow them up alive as Sheol, and whole as those that go down into the pit. And we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. I'll stop right there. You get the picture. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Pretty plain. Anybody want to elaborate on that? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I was just taking down the Bible sheet.
Okay. Okay. Heard something ring in my ear there. Okay, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Are we supposed to be even messing with sinners as far as friendship other than to give the gospel. Yeah, Nick.
We're supposed to give them the gospel, but we're not supposed to mess with them.
There you go. All right. Yeah, Missy. Thank you, Nick.
What comes to mind is, my mind is, evil companionship corrupts good morals.
Yeah. Andrew?
There's a proverb where they take the dog by the ears. You're not supposed to be involved in someone else's fight.
Amen. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, if sinners entice thee, what if it's somebody you really like, you know, and they come out and say, hey, man, let's do this or let's do that. What do you tell them? Now, I know you ain't talking to me. Well, you're Michael, aren't you? Oh, no, he died some time ago. That's what I tell him. Michael died some time ago. Well, you look like him. No, ain't me. Ain't me. I'm Jesus now. Oh, okay. No, really, seriously. We're confessing it by faith. Let me tell you about Jesus. Well, you lost another friend. Go ahead, Ben. I see you're fixing to get up here and tell us something. No? Okay. Well, I'm watching you two. Okay. What does entice mean? Now, I could get into some stuff here, but I ain't going to. Yeah, Bonita.
I just think, I think of advertising. I don't know, when I read that part, I just, for some reason, I think of abortions and I think of how evil that is, and they're enticing it. You know, they're, let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. I mean, there's, it just rings the bell with that. And I mean, they're just pushing that more and more and making it normal, and they're enticing them.
Yeah.
They're convincing them that it's okay and that's the right thing, and it's not a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing. It's fine.
Amen. You know, I heard a guy say the other day, He was a patriot. He wants to see the country. And I'm not promoting him. I'm just telling you, this is similar to that. And he was offered $50 million to just back off of what he was putting out there. He told him, no, I'm not going to do that. I love my country. If we had Christians that did the same thing throughout this country, my goodness, can you imagine the work that God could do through his people? You got people turning the word of God around that doesn't even, nowhere near looks like Jesus. For money. That, what they call that, the prosperity gospel. Got that. You also got, well, it's just, it goes on and on and on. They compromise the word of God for themselves, the flesh. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. if you get you a C5 or a 501c3, everything's going to be lovely because people start giving you more money because they'll be able to get tax break, da 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 da. That's compromise. Yeah, Missy.
Something that comes to my mind, I think it's in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John. Be not deceived. He that is righteous does righteousness. You shall know them by their fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. When they're running around. Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is you got ministers out there. I know one minister in particular has got 7 jets. Other ones are driving $250,000 vehicles. Golly.
The Lord's really taught me some good lessons about...
Are you cold?
No, I'm scratching my back. It's taught me some good lessons about, there's been a couple things that I've been deceived in the past with other assemblies that I was part of before that just because they may be older than you and seem to know the word better than you, there's things that I've compromised on because I thought they knew what they were talking about and just compromised on and were swayed by them just because I thought they were older in the Lord than me and what they were saying and what they were teaching was contrary to the word and I had questions about it, but I had this, I guess you could say, a fear of man. And, that's probably part of it, in speaking up and saying, well, the Bible says this, you know, but what about this, you know? So.
Amen. Amen. All right, go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking this flows right from verses 1, 8 and 9, which the Lord or Solomon or both are instructing us to respect, I'm going to say respect authority, grace, humility, and you will, and again, I go back to that law. There's a spiritual law of the mother there. And this is the foundation that ultimately, as Joe was talking about Daniel and Joseph, that is the very law or principle that brought them through the instruction learning process of discipleship and brought them into a place of authority. And the rest of the next 4 or 5 verses says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Because in consenting to sin is the equivalent of submitting, and I'm going to probably be redundant about this, submitting to the lower jurisdiction of the earth, of the devil's kingdom. And just like Adam and Eve, they consented to that sin through the lack of the fear of the Lord. They consented to that sin and brought themselves under the lower jurisdiction of the devil, of Satan's kingdom. And so they forfeited, they waived their right of the dominion that they had been getting, that they had received, sitting in Christ in the highest authority, highest jurisdiction. Yet when they consented to the devil, they forfeited that jurisdiction and they fell, they submitted under and became servants underneath that lower jurisdiction of the devil. And so what he's telling us in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14, there's a very important thing happening in 14. But that process is the forfeiting or the waiving or the nullifying of our authority by submitting to a lower jurisdiction. And one of the first two verses there, 11 and 12, I'm not quite sure it's speaking about people that actually, I guess, get a thrill out of causing harm or cheating the innocent, you know, people, ignorant people or whatever. But then the verses 13, 14, and 15 have to do with greed or I would say greed, and self-rule or whatever. The interesting thing that is in verse 14, thou shalt cast thy lot among us, we will all have one purse. And I got to thinking about that today. Through this enticement, because of the robbery and pilfering and the gaining and amassing of a large amount of money and or wealth of some sort, and there's that enticement to throw in your lot into that big pile, and now you have access to this great big large pile of wealth. The only thing, the problem is with that, when you throw your lot in with that one purse, you lose your authority or your ability to control your wealth. And now it's being controlled by another. Now you have to be under permission to obtain or get or acquire or whatever. When it was in your hand, it was under your control. But now that it's thrown into the purse, I might be getting way off base here or whatever. But the whole process is losing your authority by submitting to a lower kingdom of the earth. So that's kind of what I was getting out of that process here this morning.
Okay. All right, Ben or Andrew.
I just want to stress the The 11th verse where it says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. You see, the perhaps back in this time when it was legal or legalistic people, so we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So what they're doing there is they're killing a very special blood to you, a very special livestock. And I think this adds to what Pat is saying there, yeah, to see it on a spiritual level. If we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, people might read this and think it only applies to killing someone physically. But what happens when you kill someone spiritually, you see? That's a huge danger in that. You know, there's the millstone danger of the Gospels. If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and for you to be thrown in the sea. And I remember telling this to Ben actually earlier about the corporate body millstone in Revelation chapter 18. And that's a serious item. Of course, it's just a saying where an angel takes a millstone and throws it into the sea over there. But as for the purse, we snuck in something there, three sixes, and it was also correlated with what Pat was saying, and it's also a killing the one you're supposed to overcome by. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which is, of course, the chapter 12 verse, you know, and by the word of our testimony, because we are doing it with our testimony, with our Lord's word, because to avoid any sort of emotion, sight, physical sight, or hearing, or speaking, or mindset of a person of that time, it's going to have to be the right one to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We would prefer to be like a person, as we were told, like Daniel, who or Jeremiah, that was given a blessing under under Babylon, when they said, do good to this prophet here, and the people should know that this is against God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty is allowing government. It's different when it's the church. The church is supposed to work in tandem with the government. Because the people in the government would like to see God too in the end for an eternity. So I don't know that if that would even work nowadays with the unless they get called, unless they get saved. So, praise God.
Amen. All right, anyone else?
Ben brought up a really good point. He said denying the one who bought you. And sometimes they tell you you're a sinner after you're supposed to be free from sin. I don't get that. That's killing the blood you're supposed to overcome with. You know, what's the famous saying? The only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. Another one is, oh, God doesn't see your sin. He sees it through the blood of Jesus. Well, there's lies in that statement. And then, of course, there's only a sinner saved by grace. Well, you're the nice song of a person doing a Romans 5 and 8, but it's not Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know, that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, and unconditional eternal security, all. These are all spiritual blood killers because it's conditional. They are partakers of Christ if, and that's a conditional word. And then the most quoted verse for righteousness, for he hath been made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. There's a conditional word, the righteousness of God. And the might, it depends on God's might and his power and his strength. And a strength is a light of God, too, that's in your land, in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. So the glory of God is given to you. It gives you the use of light, but you also need oil for that. And you need to be refilled with the oil. You have to refill the lamp every so often. And if you're a wise virgin, you have extra oil with you. Don't tell me what that means. You know, I picture an extra bottle on the side. The other guys didn't have it. So, you know, that's verse 7. You know, that we just talked about. And it's right after, it's in Matthew 25, and that's the first parable. Well, I don't know if it's the first parable after he starts talking about the end times in 24. And then he goes right down the whole thing. You know, you get the goats and the sheep, and the sheep are making good decisions. They're feeding the people. And anyways, I'm going on a rabbit trail here. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Anybody else on this? I don't know why, but the prosperity gospel keeps coming to my mind about this. They sell everything they got from God. It came from God. It wasn't anything that they did. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, just imagine what some of these people take in every month. You know, there's some poorer families that both of them have to work just to keep the rent and stuff. They would love to have a whole school board, Christian school board, they could even do for the whole state that they're in.
Yeah.
And that money could have been put to much better use. Just like I kind of picture this with students getting together with all the first century families. And, of course, to study at home on a regular basis. You know, some families don't even think they have to read the word with their kids. Or they have to be told. They don't know to do this. I'm living proof. I did not know that I had to. Well, they did get homeschooled, but we did pray together, but not as often as I would like. You know, you got a cat. You prayed for a cat and it showed up. So anyway, and it had no teeth, so we had to feed it tuna. Anyway.
Oh gosh.
And
get one out on that one.
But he caught me a chipmunk.
Oh boy.
I lost track of what I was saying there.
Yeah, me too.
That's good. So praise God anyway.
Yeah, Pat, let's see. Another popular one is God knows we can't live righteously. So he sent Christ to live it so we don't have to. Okay. All right. Let us swallow them up alive as shell and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Thou shalt cast thy lot among us. We will all have one purse. Now 15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Well, it's pretty plain, isn't it? He's telling us not to do that, not to get around them, not to go to their churches, not to even mess with them. And there's millions that do. I know of one lady that was a preacher. This is years ago. Big news was she put in a $23,000 toilet. I'll just leave that one alone. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed blood. What does that mean? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I think it was the last meeting. A little boy had a book there, and it was the Pilgrim's Progress, and good study. And I hope my hope is that people apply that to the Bible. And there's also a Psalm 121, you know. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And of course, it goes on from there. And it's a journey psalm, and Psalm 91 is a journey psalm too. And, you have a journey. Everybody has a journey. The bad guys have their journey too on the Pilgrim's Progress. You know, and some of them actually thought they were Christian. Okay. What was the last guy? Yeah. Forget his name anyway. I'm going to have to watch my Pilgrim's Progress again. Came from the land of vainglory. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Praise God.
Is Michael talking to us?
Oh, I was saying some good stuff too, Pat. Man, it was awesome. not what I was saying. We'll stop right there and pick it up again Tuesday night. And I'd like to see some more involvement in here. We had a good night tonight. Really good night. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, it seems like the length of time that we take just with the few verses we have. You know, when I study by myself, I would have been probably through to the fourth one by now after 2 hours. But no, it's good to go very slowly with other people's thoughts in it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just be quiet next time.
No, you can talk. Listen, you should read these things slowly. You should read them slowly so you can meditate on them and get them in. Yeah, Andrew.
You see, what usually happens to me, I just see a key word, like the blood, and then I try to expand on it from what I was taught, you know, what we were taught. Or it will take me to another verse, like, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Of course, there was the blood there again.
That's yeah.
The spiritual killing of someone. You know, it's kind of scary that people do that.
Yeah, well, I remember what David said a long time ago. He said, don't eat the word like a hog eats slop. You want to chew on it like a cow. Swallow it, regurgitate it, chew it on some more. Swallow it, regurgitate it, chew on it some more. You know what I'm saying. Tastes better about the third or fourth time around. You get a little bit more out of it. Go ahead, Pat.
One of the things that I find is helpful if I start looking up the words, you know, just break down, you know, a verse and just define the words. Make sure that you understand exactly what the words mean, because even the fact, you know, you look into the Strong's Concordance and it'll tell you, say, what that word, sometimes it'll tell you what that word, what the root of that word is or where that's coming from. And then they have some descriptors in there, and it kind of fills out a little bit more of the meaning of what God's talking about in that particular verse, you know, because of that word. So I would recommend, you know, that everybody, you know, make sure that they define the terms so that we know, you know, it's easier to understand what God is saying when we understand what the words mean, you know, so. Just kind of a little side issue there.
I was looking up the guy in Esword. This guy who was I forget who it was that told this story, but he told of an old country boy that he ran across that knew the word of God like it was his own, you know, like he had written it. I mean, it was just amazing that this old country boy knew the Bible like he did, spiritually and the word. And he asked him, he said, how is it that you know the word of God so good and so great? And he told him, he said, well, ever since I started reading it, I'd take a book and I'd read that. I'd go in one sitting and read that book 12 times. He'd go in one sitting. He'd read that book 12 times. And it struck a note with me because years ago when I was in amateur radio, a guy had told me, he said, I'll tell you what you do to pass those tests. He said, read the test questions 10 times before you go in there to take the test. He said, you'll pass it every time. And he was right. It gets in here. But anyway, I thought that was pretty unique. I can't imagine reading Psalms that way, but you know, I'm just saying. Go ahead, Pat.
Uh, Another a point that probably goes on, you know, not necessary to be said, but it's also helpful just to ask the Lord, what in the heck are you saying? What are you saying with this? What are you trying to tell me here? It makes absolutely no sense. Please clarify, you know?
Yeah, that's basically the way
that helps significantly.
Yeah. I wish I had the time to sit down and read it 12 times, but it's a whole lot easier just to ask the Lord, isn't it? A lot of times. Well, I guess we're out of time. Yeah. Glory to God. Lord, we just thank you for another great night. I guess we'll stop on, what is that, 16? We'll stop on 16. All right, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing all these things to the top here where we could understand what these proverbs are telling us. I thank you too, Lord, because it's helping me and it's helping everybody, I hope and I pray, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that these four chapters are wisdom and discernment, and you're teaching us how to get that, and we praise you for that, Father. Be with us as we go about placing in our heart to pursue you with all of our heart. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for comforting those that need comforting. Thank you, Lord, for all the pregnant women out there that are going to have an easy pregnancy in Jesus' name. And they're going to have a healthy baby. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. And Mama's going to be healthy too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good night, y'all. We'll see you on the backside.